Good morning, everybody. All right, I asked you 2 weeks ago if you had your Christmas lights up. Last week, I asked you if you had your Christmas shopping done. And there were still a lot of people that didn't have lights up and didn't have Christmas shopping done. So I'm just not going to ask anymore. I'm done. No, I'm kidding. I'm sure you're getting closer and closer and closer. Some of you probably already had your Christmases. We had our Christmas with our kids and grandkids yesterday, so that next weekend I've got Christmas with my mother and my brothers and their families, and all of us will be together again. And then that kind of leaves the rest of the weekend open for my kids to be with their in-laws. And so you understand, if you've got kids that are married, then you've got to start dividing time with other family members, and it just gets complicated. It gets messy, which is why we're talking about a very messy Christmas. In fact, we had our kids over yesterday, as I said, and it got messy. When you have 10 grandkids, things just get messy. I took a picture of our living room before they all showed up. Starla had the tables all decorated. We had the adult table, and it was beautiful, and the kids' table, and we had butcher paper covering that table with things they could color on just to keep them entertained. But then I started noticing, as they started opening up all the presents, it just got messy real quick. I stepped back and took another picture. The before and the after was just totally different. Wrapping paper everywhere, toys everywhere, candy everywhere. It was awesome. Christmas is messy. Kids make it messy. But you know what? They also make it magical. And that's what makes it so much fun. The magic of Christmas, the joy of Christmas. There was a time when every single one of us became Christians. And as a newborn Christian, we had this childlike faith. We had this childlike wonder. We had this childlike awe about serving Christ. We had enthusiasm, and our excitement couldn't be stopped. I mean, we got a front row parking spot at the mall, and we knew it was the work of the Holy Spirit. We got a new checkout station open at the grocery store, and we knew it was a divine setup. We were excited. We were like kids. Like being told you were going to Disneyland. We're as excited about the Lord as that. But here's the question I've been thinking about. Who did God tell first that his son was being born? Who did he tell first? Was it to the religious elite? Was it to the biblical scholars? Was it to the rich and famous? No. It was to a bunch of kids watching their flocks out on the hillside, shepherds. And this is part of the story that we kind of misunderstand. We started this series a couple of weeks ago called A Very Messy Christmas. And today, I want to call this A Childlike Christmas. Today's a childlike Christmas. Because sometimes we miss and we only get the commercial version of Christmas, and we forget how God was working behind the scenes in this Christmas story to reach people and redeem people and get his message across to people. And if there's anything that the shepherds are going to teach us, they're going to teach us this one important truth, that the Christmas story should ignite us with passion and fill us with faith and joy. And I hope I can prove that to you today, because our problem is we've heard the Christmas story so many times, we've lost the awe and the wonder of it. But here's what I know, that if you used to have a passionate relationship with Christ, I'm praying you're going to find how to get it back today. If you have a white-hot, passionate relationship with Christ, I hope you're going to learn how to keep it. And if you don't have a relationship with Christ at all today, I hope you will know that he has gone to great lengths, great measures to get to you so that you could know that he loves you and he's got a plan for your life. Can I get an amen? These shepherds, they picture for us the kind of faith that we all want to have. In Luke chapter 2, if you got your Bibles or on your phones, we have an incredible Freedom Church app that you can follow along on the sermon notes and scriptures there and keep up with events and activities going on, but it'll also be on the screen. Luke chapter 2, verse number 8, said, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. There were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. Let me just stop right there. Here's the first thing. I want to say three things today. Number one, Christmas is my reminder that I'm not forgotten. Christmas is my reminder that I'm not forgotten. Now, in this culture, being a shepherd wasn't a glorious job at all. It wasn't something that anybody really aspired to be. You didn't aspire to be a shepherd. It's kind of like going to eat at Denny's. You never plan on going to eat at Denny's. You just end up there because nothing else works out. You know, this is what it's like, a shepherd. Nobody aspired to be a shepherd. You just became a shepherd because your daddy was a shepherd or there was nothing else to do. And we even see in the Old Testament that most of the time, the shepherd responsibility, it was passed on to the youngest of the siblings. We see that in 1 Samuel 16, whenever the prophet Samuel is trying to go and find the next king of Israel, and he goes to Jesse's house and asks Jesse, are these all the sons you have? Because he's looked over all of his sons. Now think about this, the only sons Jesse thought worthy to present to Samuel, and he looks over and says, he's not here. Do you have anybody else? Well, yeah, there's the youngest. He's tending sheep. Why? Because he got the job of tending sheep because he was the youngest. Well, they said, send for him because we're not going to sit down until he arrives. And that was David, and David became the next king of Israel. David got his job because he was the youngest. Because in this time, most of the shepherds that were tending the sheep on those hillsides was of the age of 9 to 14 years old. And on some of our trips to Israel that we've taken, on a few occasions, we've been able to go to Bethlehem and be on that hillside where it is believed that this occurred, this story occurred. And you know what we saw there? Shepherds tending their flocks. And they were kids around 9 to 14 years of age. This is how parents taught their kids responsibility over the last 2,000 years, giving them responsibility of watching over flocks that were animals that produced income for their family. I mean, we're just trying to get our kids to clean up after themselves after they eat or put their clothes in the dirty clothes hamper. Here, these kids were in charge of family income. But here's why this is so significant, because the angel is going to tell them the most important news in history. But in that day, nobody told shepherds anything. They were at the bottom of the barrel. They were the lowest on the totem pole. As far as social standing, they had none. And sometimes we may feel like we're at that bottom of social standing, like we're the bottom of the totem pole, or nobody cares about us. Maybe you're overlooked at work. Maybe you're overlooked in your family. Maybe you're overlooked here at church. And you're wondering, you know what, does anybody even know that I'm alive? Well, listen, Christmas is a time that tells us that we are not forgotten, because the shepherds, who were the lowest on the social standard measuring stick, he comes to them first. And if you've been forgotten, maybe you're in a season where you just feel like you've been kind of pushed aside. Psalms 27:10 says, even if my father and mother abandon me, the Lord will hold me close. You need to know this. You have not been forgotten by the Lord. The Lord knows exactly where you are. You're on his radar. He has his eye on you. He knows exactly what's going on in your life. He has not forgotten you. He has not given up on you. He's reaching out to you even today. Can I get an amen? Luke chapter 2, verse number 9 says this. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven. And on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. Here's the second thing I want to say. Christmas is my reminder that God still speaks to us. God still speaks to us. This is the Christmas message, that God still speaks to us today. He came to us, he spoke to us, and he's still speaking to us today. The Christmas message is not a overweight senior citizen in a red suit, you know, sneaking into your house, unlawfully entering your house and eating your food. That's not the Christmas message. The Christmas message is that God still speaks to us today. And here's why these shepherds hearing this good news was so amazing, is because God had not spoken in 400 years. The Old Testament had closed out. The prophets had said what needed to be said, and there was silence from heaven for 400 years. The first time in 400 years, God speaks, and he speaks to the shepherds, and he's still speaking today. He's still talking to us today. Now, God's not giving us new parts of the Bible, but he's still speaking to us today. And how does he speak to us? Well, he speaks through pastors. He speaks through people. He speaks through prayer. He speaks through his word. He speaks through counsel. He speaks through the Holy Spirit. And what I try to encourage people to do, as I said just last week, find the intersection between what God's word says, if it addresses the issue that you're trying to get an answer for, what you feel in your spirit, what you feel like you hear in prayer, what you get from counsel from others, and try to find the intersection. That's probably where the will of God is. Rather, here's what most people do. We go to the word of God and it's like, oh, I don't like what that says. Let me go ask somebody else. What do you say about this? Well, no, I don't like what you said. Well, let me find a church that believes, you know, the way I want. And you just keep searching and searching and searching until you find somebody that gives you the answer you're looking for. That's not the way to find the will of God. That's not the way to hear God speaking. There's a better way, and God's still speaking to us today. In fact, Jeremiah 29:13 says, if you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. If you're looking for God, you will find him. If you want to hear his voice, you will hear it. If you want to know his will, you can find his will. He's not playing hide and seek from us. He's trying to make himself available to us. And if we will just open up our eyes and open up our ears, we will know that he is available to us. Childlike faith is always asking questions. We want to know more. We want to find out more. We want to know God's will. And that's what the Christmas message tells us. In Luke chapter 2, verse number 15, it says this, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem. Notice that phrase right there. Let's go to Bethlehem. I'm going to come back to that. Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. So here's the third thing I want to say. I'm going to ask the worship team if they would prepare to come back. Christmas is my moment to share. Christmas is my moment to share. Now, having many different language services around here, 8 different language services here on our campus every single weekend, and communicating with our different, we call them PAC churches, parent-affiliated churches, communicating with our PAC pastors sometimes can be a little challenging because English being translated into other languages doesn't always translate perfectly. We use phrases that just don't always translate the message. You know, when we say, hey, I'm over the moon, that means I'm excited. They hear over the moon. I'm under the weather. We say quit beating around the bush. We mean let's get to the point. You know, they picture somebody beating around a bush. This will blow your socks off. Sometimes things just don't translate perfectly. You know, you're barking up the wrong tree. Well, we know exactly what those things mean. They don't always translate, or that's going to cost you an arm and a leg. Here's my point. In the same way, this phrase that the shepherds used when they said, let's go to Bethlehem. The angel had said to them, the Savior was being born. Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's go. That word, let's go, doesn't really do justice because that word translated in the Greek language, it refers to running like an absolute madman. Not in a crazy sense, but in an excited sense. It's like your kids are when you pull up to Chuck E. Cheese and they get Chuck E. Cheese. Or, you know, they hear, we're going to Disneyland. You say, yeah, well, I understand that excitement, Pastor. But, you know, we're adults. We just don't do that. Oh, do we? Do we not? Have you ever watched the NFL teams after they score a touchdown or an interception? I mean, they get to the end zone and they want their photo op and everything. Have you ever seen a soccer player or football everywhere else in the world score a goal? It's pandemonium. Or like maybe you and I were a little bit when the Rangers won the World Series. Yeah, we can get excited. We can get excited when we want to. And when these kids, these shepherds, started telling the story, the scripture said that people were intrigued. They were amazed by what they were saying, what they had experienced. But it wasn't the fact that angels had spoken to them, had delivered a message. No, the people were amazed at them talking about Jesus. They were talking about Jesus. And I wonder if we as adults have lost the amazement and the wonder and the awe and the joy of the Christian faith. Maybe that wonder and awe that we had when we were first saved. See, some passion is lost because we've forgotten what it's like to be lost. Now, I can remember what it's like to be lost, and most of you can as well. I can remember what it was like trying to find meaning in relationships and trying to find meaning in money and trying to find meaning in accomplishments. And every single one of us have probably searched for meaning in different things and only to come up empty. And the only thing that really made sense was when we finally surrendered to Jesus. Jesus made everything make sense. And sometimes we lose that and we forget what it's like to be lost. Then we lose that childlike passion. We lose that energy and excitement. We kind of get stale in our faith. But if you want to keep the childlike faith, if you want to keep the childlike passion, then we need to remember what it's like to be lost. And that happens by telling our story to people who are lost. That's how we gain that passion again. That's how we keep from losing that passion, telling the story to people who are lost. And we've got this amazing opportunity this coming weekend. We have an amazing opportunity to be able to invite people to Christmas Eve at Freedom Church. To invite people here to hear the story of Jesus. I know Easter is the easiest time to invite people to Christ, but Christmas is the next. Use this opportunity to invite people to come and hear the story. Because when they hear the story, their life can be changed forever. One of my favorite Christmas stories is the story of a shoe cobbler, a shoemaker. It was Christmas Eve. And he dreamed that Jesus was coming to visit him on the next day. And it was so real, it was so vivid, that he went out first thing the next morning and he cut down a Christmas tree and he set it up in his little cobbler shop and he decorated and he prepared it and he sat down and he waited for Jesus to arrive because he believed that Jesus was coming. He waited and he waited. Finally, an old man came and slipped in from the winter cold and just said, "I just need to warm up a bit. Can I just rest in your shop?" And the shoemaker said, "Sure, sit down." As he sat down, he noticed a hole in the man's shoe. He says, "Let me have those old shoes." And he took it. He began to work on it. He repaired the sole of the man's worn out shoe. Got him a nice new sole on the bottom. Got his shoes ready. Got him some dry socks and let him go on his way. And then he sat and he waited for Jesus to come. He waited and he waited. Till finally an old woman came in. She slipped in his little shop and he noticed that she was pretty shaky and pretty frail. And he asked, "Have you had anything to eat lately?" She says, "No, I haven't had a decent meal in 2 days. He said, "Sit down, let me prepare something for you." So he prepared her a nice, nourishing meal. She ate and she went on her way. So he sat back down, he waited for Jesus to come. Jesus didn't show up, but he heard a little boy crying out in the street in front of his shop. So he went out to see what was the matter, and there was a little boy who'd been separated from his parents, was lost, and didn't know how to get home. So he went back in, he put his coat on, he put his gloves on, and took the little boy by the hand and walked into his home. He came back home to his little shoe shop. Sat down and waited. Sun went down. Everything turned dark. Busy streets cleared. He looked up and he said, "How come you didn't show up? I waited all day long." And he And he heard this. He said, "Oh, shoe cobbler, lift up your heart. I kept my word. Three times I knocked on your friendly door. Three times my shadow fell across your floor. I was the man with the bruised feet. I was the woman you gave to eat. And I was the boy on the homeless street." You see, Jesus came. He just didn't recognize it. We celebrate this Christmas season because Jesus came. And he still comes to us today. But do we recognize it? Do we know it when he comes? Do we feel it when he shows up? Are we aware of it when he arrives? Because Jesus has come. And my challenge to you is recognize him when he comes. He may come through a hurting person. He may come through a broken life. He may come through an opportunity. He may come. Make sure you see when Jesus comes, because he still comes. He's still speaking. He still remembers. He has not forgotten a single one of us. He knows exactly where we are and what's going on in our life today, and he gives us an opportunity to share. Share what Jesus has done in our lives. Would you bow your heads with me? Lord, thank you for giving us an opportunity to share. To share the amazing gift of Christmas. To share the amazing gift of new life. I know sometimes it can be intimidating, but I'm asking you to give every single one of us a unique and divine opportunity this week to share what Jesus means to us with someone else. Lord, for those who may feel like they're forgotten, may they hear this word today. Christmas reminds us we are not forgotten. To those who are in this room that wonder if God still speaks to them, may they hear your tender, still, small voice that speaks to us that we are loved, we are remembered, you have a plan for our life, and that you're here for us right now. Your head's about all over this room. If you're here today, you've never said yes to Jesus. Or you're here today and you've walked away from your faith in Christ, but you realize this is your opportunity to reconnect with Christ, to say yes to Jesus, to make him the king on the throne of your heart.